Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 3 of Colossians. And I want to put this on tape, what we just discussed a minute ago, what I shared with you, but about the meanings of each one of the books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And Galatians means, as we discussed a while ago, the righteous or white. But he's talking to the righteous people, the ones he's chosen, the first fruit. And then we come to Ephesians, and that means permitted. So this is another step in our life of going forward, and if we're permitted. And he said in Hebrews, we'll go beyond the elementary principles if God permits. Okay? So the ones he's talking with, the ones he's chosen, are permitted. And then we come to Philippians, and it speaks of a lover of humanity. And when you look at this book, you'll find out the things that, how much humanity has a pull on us, and the things that we have to get rid of. We have to release them or disconnect from those things and be free. And then we come to the book we're dealing with today, Colossians, which means corrected or correction. And by this state in our life, this time or period of our life, we should be very much into the corrected stage. Did I say perfect? No. But we're being corrected. And once we learn that it's the hand of God correcting us, not the hand of God punishing us, it's much easier to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah, we recently had something in Whitewater where we don't have rules, we have guidelines.
A lot of people don't like rules. Guideline, they can handle it.
Guidelines help you keep on track.
All right. So this morning, we'll be in chapter 3, and I will read it first. Verse 1, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For of which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all of the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection, perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. Now we go back and break it up. In this first verse, if you be risen, what's he talking about? Are you, Are you born again? Which, that's the beginning of the mind of Christ. Okay, but he's literally saying, are you born again? Have you been raised from the dead? Now, although we were walking around in the world, we thought we were alive, but we were only in the flesh. And he's talking about, if you be risen. He's talking about people that have really been called. Right? Talking about the ones he's called. If you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, or spiritual. Seek the things which are spiritual, where Christ is sitting on the right hand, or the full, with full power and authority of God. Okay?
It doesn't mean an external.
No, it's all internal. And I want you to know that, and I'm going to read you something out of Romans. It comes up in this chapter several times, so I want to read it. Romans 6. Verse 3. Know you not that as many as us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should live in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Same thing, isn't it? If we were buried with him, we're resurrected with him. Whatever he did, we've already experienced that same thing. And on in verse 2 it says, set your affection, or literally it means to exercise your mind. Exercise your mind on the things spiritual, not on the earthly. That's what it should say. Do this on the spiritual, not the earthly. Okay? Because you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Did he say you might be dead someday? He's talking about dead to the pull of the world, of the carnality of the world.
I go out and Paul says, deliver me from this body of death.
Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Grace.
Yourself.
Grace through Jesus Christ.
Yourself.
Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, not shall appear, but appears, when he appears, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Okay? So what do you think he's saying? When he appears, you're just like him. What's he really saying?
When you take on his mind of Christ.
Absolutely. There's a word I'm thinking for. You're right what you said. I'm thinking of a word. Huh?
Image or representation?
No. When he appears, you'll be just like him. How many people you think aren't like him but say they are? They can't, but they say they are. And they're trying to play the game. And I'm leading you into something. There you go. Don't be a hypocrite. If I'm a child of God, then be a child of God. Don't care what anybody thinks about you in the process. Just be that child who you are. If I'm a rabbit dog, I'm going to chase rabbits. If I'm a bird dog, I'm going to smell for birds. If I'm a bird, I'm going to fly around and act like a bird. I'm not going to do the things a dog does. I'm going to be a son of God, and I don't care what anybody thinks, because I know I'm a son of God. You see what I'm saying? If you know who you are, be that whatever you are, be it. Don't let somebody try to change you into something that you don't think you are. If you don't believe it, then don't do it. And he says, mortify, or the correct wording there would be consider it dead. You can't kill your thinking by taking the gun and shooting yourself in the head, can you?
No.
You've got to. It's all done internally. It's about the thinking process. But consider dead, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. He's talking about your body. Okay? He says, fornication, all these things. He said, fornication comes from the word pornea, where we get pornographic or whatever. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, all kind of incest and...
Wouldn't that be Antichrist?
Well, it is Antichrist, yeah, but these are all the things of the flesh, the fleshly things he's talking about here. It covers everything, animals and everything else. It's just all those things it's talking about with these words. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what? Now, why would he say these things are idolatry?
Because they become more important to you.
That's exactly right. Because in your mind, things become so important they overshadow everything else. And that's what these things in the world. And all he's doing is telling you, hey, you got to take control of these things. It's just like when I smoked, anything I ever done in my life, Lois has known me for a long, long time. And whatever I did it wide open. If I was in the world doing something, if it was fishing, if it was hunting, whatever it was, I'm going to go all I can do. And when I smoked all I could until my lungs fell out of me.
When you drank, you didn't.
When I drank, it was the same way. But that's my nature. So when God took me, he didn't change that nature. He just changed the way I thought about things. He didn't change the nature of being sold out to whatever I'm into. So whenever I began to see the truth of God and recognize God in my life, he became the center of focus. Life, everything else just fell away.
Just, not because church talked.
No, church didn't have nothing to do with it. That was before I ever even started going to church, because they just seemed to just like kind of float away because I had my focus on one thing. I've never been one, you can ask Lois, sometimes she would drive me nuts when I was remodeling stuff in the house. She'd come in and change a flower arrangement and I'm in trouble. The whole house is going to change. But if she'd come in and change a table or something, that's okay. But when she changed her flowers, that was a signal to me, everything's going. And I'd start to do this room, and she'd say, well, I'd like to have this done over here too. And I said, well, no, don't even bring it in. Let me do this room until I'm done, and then let me go over there. And when I get this one done, I'll do that. But don't even put it in my mind right now, because I'm focused on getting this done.
Lois could come outside the lines, but Dave has to stay.
I have to stay inside the line. That's the way I function, and so I have to do that. So whatever I did it that way. And I can give you 100% or 110%, whatever you want, but don't give me too many directions at the same time. Let me do one. When I get done, I'll do the other one. Just put them in order. Just line them up. I'll get them when I get there. And that's the way I've always been in life. And God didn't take that out of me. He uses that for me to focus on one thing. So I get it done. When I get it done, I can push that in the side and bring in the next one. No problem whatsoever. But let me get this one done. I hate to see things, and I can look around the neighborhood and see things. There's one particular person who just never gets anything done. He's always working, but he never gets anything done. It's this half done, that's half done, this is a third done, and the whole place is just partly done. Yeah. And absolutely works his guts out. I mean, hard worker, means well, but he has no discipline in his life. So I've learned about discipline in it, and I needed it at one time, and I got it the hard way, but I got it. That's the main thing. So anyway, it's idolatry. Anything that comes between you and your Father is idolatry. I'm talking about God. You've got to detach from everything else in the world, and he is your center focus. Didn't it say keep your eyes upon Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith? That's all it is. If your eyes are upon him, you're not thinking about all the other stuff anymore, are you? They're out of the picture.
So we prune those suckers in the mind.
Pull them suckers off. That's right. Verse 6. Because for which things the wrath of God or the... the desires of God come upon the children of not disobedience but unbelief. The only reason somebody says that God don't believe is because they're in disobedience and they just don't want to obey. What was the first commandment with promise? Honor your father and your mother. You probably don't hear much about that today. What's the rest of that verse say? That your days be long upon the earth. The flip side of that is, don't honor your father and mother in your days. Probably won't be long upon the earth.
I wish you were dead.
In my day, that was really true. Okay. Verse 7. In which you also walked, or literally lived, at some time when you lived in them, or in these. We used to live in the same things. How can I condemn somebody? And this is the thing about the church world that I always saw when I was going to church, was all these old people that had been through all life and experienced all the things that life had to offer, good or bad, no matter what people thought about it. And as soon as they get in church, they start pointing the finger to everybody out there that is going through the same thing that they did. And they could have done 10 times more than anybody else out there. But they still point the finger, and those things they experienced out there brought them to the point they are today. But they won't give you the liberty to experience something to let you grow into maturity. It's kind of like they're going to tear the cocoon open and let the butterfly out. And what did they just do?
Killed
him.
You're not allowed to have suckers on the new plant.
No. Nope. Take them off. And you know, the church never would give you the opportunity to make mistakes. And that's why the church never has went anywhere. They've never had the grace and the mercy to let someone make a mistake and say, "That's okay, we'll restore you, brother. We'll bring you back. Don't worry. We accept you right back."
You've got to prune the suckers off yourself.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes you don't even know them suckers is on there until you know someone that's been experiencing it in a while.
You got a sucker hanging on you.
You got a better.
A lot better fruit. Not more and better fruit.
Yep.
But verse 8 now tells us something.
Okay.
But when?
Now.
You also put off all these, all the anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. When are you supposed to put that away?
No.
Right now.
Now when it's revealed to you.
Now, right now. Okay. Okay. But that now word keeps popping up in Paul's writings. They're everywhere. Because he knew that it wasn't a religion of antiquity. It wasn't some futuristic religion. It's a religion of now. It's actually, it's a spiritual understanding of right now. I don't even like to call it religion. Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have disarmed the old man, the old humanity, with his wicked deeds. So don't lie one another, seeing that you have disarmed him.
Not kind of like a hypocrite thing.
Yep. Don't be a hypocrite. You've disarmed him, now quit it. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Okay. I can't go back and do the same things. I can't come in here on Sunday morning and tell you something, and then this evening when I go out, or tomorrow I go out, or all through the next week, go out and act like everybody else in the world. Can I? I could do it, but I'd reap what I sowed, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. I still, you know that I have to walk what I talk. Have to live it. But see, once you've disarmed that old man, don't let him get back up. Because he's learned something about you once you got him down. If he gets up, he's going to be hard to get down the second time, I promise you. Don't let it go there. Verse 10. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Not just knowledge. This word here means the full, correct knowledge. See, a lot of people's heads are full of knowledge, but it's not the precise, correct knowledge. There's people's minds are just like computers. They're just unbelievable what they got in their heads. But it's not necessarily true, is it?
And they can't screw a light bulb.
Yeah. I got a boy I went to school with was a nuclear engineer. Designed nuclear powerhouses. And you know what he did? His own brother told me. He said he can't put a light bulb in his house. He hires people to come in and do it. Not that he has so much money. He's just afraid of electricity. But he designs nuclear powerhouses. And walks in nuclear power all day long. Walking in these powerhouses he designs. Something's wrong there, isn't there? He has a lot of knowledge, but not the correct. And it says, let me read this thing again. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in... How is the man renewed?
Putting on the cross.
Precise, correct knowledge.
Wisdom, walking through the...
According to the image. According to the image. Now, precise, correct knowledge, according to the image of the one that created him. That would be God, wouldn't it? The Christ. Right? So I got to do it. I got to get that picture of him. If I don't understand him, how am I going to understand who I am?
I must
But I still got to know what he looks like. I got to know what makes him work. I want to know how his mind thinks. You remember years ago, I did, probably 15 years ago, I did a teaching on the mind of Christ. And it was through the Gospels, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, that's those, all those words that he spoke mostly right there when he was actually walking on the earth. You want to find out what somebody's about, what would you listen to? What would you, where would you go to find what they, what they're really like? Their words. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He's going to speak from what he thinks. So all the things that Jesus spoke was just showing us his nature and his character, his love for humanity, his forgiveness, his all-encompassing grace and mercy that we can't even comprehend how great it is. But that's how you find it, what it is, by that. And I think when I started that, I think I said, I could put a pumpkin on my head, go to Walmart, pick up a pumpkin, set it on my head, and walk around. People say, what's on your head? And I'd say, the mind of Christ. And they couldn't disagree with me because they wouldn't know what the mind of Christ was. And that's the truth. People don't know because they've never took the time to filter those words through and say, what did he say? What did he mean? What was he trying to teach me?
And they'd all go to the produce department and get their own pumpkin.
That's exact, or put a watermelon on their head.
I got it too.
Yeah, or a sugar melon, you know, or something, you know.
I'm like scared.
Might as well put an onion on their head. But that's to say, people don't take the time to realize these words, as messed up as a King James Bible is, we have tools to filter this stuff out. We can search this out.
I was just thinking when you said that, what was the song, and I don't know who sang it, God never, or Oz never gave nothing to the tin man that he didn't.
Already have, yep. Yep. And see, it's the same thing with us. And see, people say these things about this pop music, rock music, whatever, country music. There is messages coming through people. If you have the ear to hear, what does that song say to you?
You already got it in you.
Everything you want. That man knew it when he wrote it. Maybe he didn't know it. Maybe he was that dumbass speaking, but yet if you have the ears to hear...
So there's hope for mine.
Anybody. It's possible, yes. See? We can't limit anything because he can speak through anything. It's all his. And that man that wrote that song, that, you know, Oz never gave anything to the Tin Man that he doesn't already have. He's telling you a message right there. If you've got the ear to hear it, that you have everything you need in your life because God put it in there from the very conception. You already got it. It came from Adam right on through. Adam had it all, but he hadn't experienced anything yet. That's why the fall had to come. And until we experience it and walk through it, we have nothing either. We have to go through it. When we do, we'll be fine. Everybody will get it sooner or later. But
there, like you said in the 1 Corinthians 13, you look in the glass. Or
dimly.
Dimly or mm-hmm. darkly. They don't necessarily have understanding when they do it.
No. They're just doing what their nature tells them at the time. What they think they are. Well, we have verse 11. Yeah. Where there is neither Greek, and that's non-Jews all it is, nor Jew. There's neither Jew or non-Jew is what it's saying. Circumcision or uncircumcision, that's still saying Jew or not Jew. Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but all, okay, nevertheless, Christ is what?
All and is in all.
Boy, the church needs to hear that one, don't they? They don't believe it. They just read over it and it don't mean anything. With their understanding darkened. They don't understand.
Like we were talking last week, if you could just go to all the churches and teach this book of Colossians.
Oh. If I could take Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and just I could stay in them for the rest of my life and just teach it, because there's just so many layers of it. It just keeps coming. And if somebody could get a hold of these little books, oh. And everybody thinks it's just minor things because they're small. But what's the old saying? Dynamite comes in small packages. It does. It can blow up your worldly thinking. It also says that in Ephesians 1:23 and 1 Corinthians 15:28 that Christ is all and in all. So it's not just one place it says it more than that. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God. So again, who's he talking to? He said, if you're the elect of God, put these things on. You're holy and beloved. Put on the bowels or the heart of compassion is what it should say. The bowels of mercy is the heart of compassion. Kindness, humbleness of mind, which is modesty. Meekness, which literally should be humility. And long-suffering. forbearing or putting up with one another. I like that word, putting up with one another. See, that forbearing don't tell me a whole lot. But when we say when you put up with somebody, they're aggravating the far out of you, aren't they? That's what it really it means. I mean, you have to put up with something. You're being aggravated by it. So if I have to put up with it, evidently that agitation that's coming from that relationship is in there to do something for me.
I think about those animals that have those birds that ride on their back all the time that eats the bugs all the time.
Yeah.
They never flap. They never get the birds off of them.
Because they're doing them a favor.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, they're not aggravating them. We're talking about someone aggravating you. If it was, they'd be reacting to it. They're not showing any sign of it. They've learned. That's called a symbiotic relationship. They work together. They eat the bugs and feeds them and cleans the hippopotamuses as they walk and the elephants. Okay, but putting up with one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel or a complaint against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do you. So, how many did Christ forgive? What right do you have to not forgive anybody? Did I say it was easy? But I still have to do it, don't I? Right?
Forgiving doesn't mean you condone what they've done. It
doesn't mean you don't know about it.
Yeah.
God didn't tell us to be stupid and let them walk on you. He didn't call us to be doormats, did he? And just because I forgive somebody for something that did me wrong doesn't mean I don't know what they did to me. He didn't say he formatted your hard drive, did he? He didn't say forget it. He knew what you did. You know what people do to you.
Don't necessarily step right back
in. And don't be stupid enough to walk back in it again. You know, just turn that one away. Okay? And verse 14, and above all these things, this is the number one thing. He said, above everything else, put on charity, which is what?
Love.
Which is the bond, or literally the uniting principle of perfection. Let me read something in Luke 13. Luke 13, 32. This is Jesus speaking. He said to them, go ye and tell the fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Where does perfection come? In that third day. We have to come to a level of understanding beyond the elementary principles, if God permits us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not up to our choice to say, I want to go be a third day person, I want to be first rate. That's already God's choice. He's already made it. But what it'll do, it'll come to life in you. You'll know that's where you're supposed to be. Pure and simple, you'll know that's where you're supposed to be. You think a cat has to wake up every morning and say, am I really a cat or maybe I'm a fish?
You know it right away by the temperament.
I'm not talking about what you think about. I'm talking about what they think about themselves. They just are who they are, ain't they?
I think they're privileged.
Well, they think they are. I'm sure of that. Your cat is. Huh? Well, they've trained us real well, haven't they? The cat trains us. We don't train the cat. Yep. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay, main thing is get into this love, which is the uniting principle of perfection. And let the peace of God... Now, why is the word God there?
Mine says Christ. Mine don't have a
problem. Well, yours, Lisa, is correct, whatever you're reading. Whichever version you're reading. Because the word there is Christos. Now, that's not God. Okay? The word Christos is for Christ. This is the things that just absolutely blow my mind. Why would they do that, knowing these people that translate this book know that that word in the Greek meant Christ, but yet they put God in there?
Because religion accepts God.
No, wait a minute now, because there's another verse coming right below it. I'm going to show you something. Let the peace of God, or peace of Christ, rule in your minds, to which you also you are called in one body, And that's a sound whole body. And you be thankful, it should say. And you be thankful that you have been called. Now look at this next one. Let the word, that's the Logos of Christ, and that word Christ right there is the same word that they translated God in the verse before. That's the things that blows my mind. How people could be, how could they, someone had to help them. Say, hey, don't do it that way. Do it the wrong way.
Well, you know, in the front of your Bible, it says so many different ones worked on. The way I see it is John over here worked on that verse. And Luke over here worked on that verse. And they didn't proofread it or whatever.
Well, they didn't get together and discuss and see if we could find a common opinion of this.
Let's just hurry and get this together. It'll sell.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Okay, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly in all wisdom. What's the word in you for? Wisdom. They want it in wisdom. Teaching and admonishing. The word admonishing here means warning or cautioning. Not threatening or intimidating, but cautioning and warning one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace, the divine influence in your heart and a reflection of that in your lifestyle. What God has done to you is what you should be talking about and singing about and being thankful for, shouldn't you? In your what? Not in your heart, in your mind. Okay? To the Lord.
So it's something you should ponder on all the time. Let the song be sung in you all the time.
Yeah. It should be inside of you. There should be a song going on all the time of praise to God for the things He's doing in your life. And it's not like you have to stop and get down on your knees and raise your hands in the air and make a big show in front of people. It's an attitude inside. God's aware of what's going inside. That's the only part that's important anyway, isn't it? What people think about you and say, oh, that's a good Christian lady or that's a good Christian man, that doesn't mean squat. It doesn't hold any water with God. What's the attitude of your heart? Because He said He judges the thoughts and intents of your heart, of your mind. It's not about what anybody external thinks. What do you think about you? Have you accepted you as a child of God? Have you forgave you? Do you constantly forgive you? You should. You should be able to forgive everything. Doesn't make any difference. And I'm saying that to me. See, I'm saying it when I say it, I hear it before you did. I heard it in my mind before I said it out of my mouth.
Lots of times, like I said about getting in the dirt around me, lots of times I'm like, well, you really acted like an ass in that, didn't you?
Yeah.
To myself.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be able to recognize it and do something about it. Change it. Absolutely got to change it. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name, the anoma, the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him, through Jesus, through the Christ. Now we get to get our wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Notice it says your own husband.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
In that verse that you just read, because we went and expounded on that Christ on 15, is that Lord Jesus and God and the Father, are those all translated the way that...
Correctly, yes. That's why I didn't do anything with them.
Okay.
Yep. It was Kyrios, Jesus, and then Theos, and pater.
Okay.
Those words were correct.
Well, since you brought that out in the other, I wanted to ask that question.
That's why I didn't bother them, because if they're correct, I don't bother them. Okay? Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Okay? As it is proper in the Lord. God never said women were a weaker vessel. That's human thinking. There's a lot of tough women out there. In fact, I think that Ronda Rousey, she's a woman at MMA fighting. She just whipped some guy in the ring. There's some tough women out there. Anyway, but notice the key word in this whole thing is submit. And that's a willful submission. That's not somebody threatening to do it or beat you up or anything. To your own, O-W-N. Most churches teach that every woman should be in subjection to a man. Every man superior to him. That's not true. A husband is not superior to his wife. They become one. If I can't accept my wife as an equal to me, then I'm cutting my own throat. Okay?
And also there's spiritual.
Huh?
There's also a spiritual aspect.
That's what it's all about. But if it's true in the spirit, it's got to be true in the natural in my life.
Uh-huh.
Okay? If it's not, then I'm just being a hypocrite.
Natural first and then the spiritual.
Yep. Verse 19. But husbands, love your wives and be not bitter with regard to them. Don't be giving them a hard time just because you're upset. Now, we haven't forgot anybody. It's about the children now. Children, obey your parents in all. A-L-L. That's not part of it, is it? All. I know Ben was paying attention to that. Because this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be what?
Discouraged.
The language doesn't really say discouraged. It really says disheartened or broken in spirit. And I see people, especially in church world, I see people being sometimes they let their kids just run like pure heathens, and others, they so discipline their children that they're just broken. You can see it. You know, they're afraid to do anything because they're just afraid they're going to get cracked for everything they do.
And sometimes they don't realize that they do it, but they choose favorites.
Oh, yes. And the kids can see it quicker than anybody. So, like I said, you don't want to break their spirits. Let them be who they be. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as singleness of heart, singleness of mind, reverencing or being in awe of the Lord. It says God there, and there's the word kurios again. It's not God, it's the Lord. But it gave me something to do, didn't it? Correct their errors. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it from your spirit, not heartily, but from your spirit, as to the Lord, and not unto humanity. If you think you're serving humanity, you're wasting your time because they could care less. Knowing that from the Lord you shall receive in full the reward of the inheritance because you serve the Lord Christ. Abraham made a cry once in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 15. He said he had no one to receive his inheritance. And what did God tell him? I am your great and exceeding reward. That's the thing we're after. The only difference between anybody on the face of the earth is whether you're obedient or not obedient, and you'll have a reward and the others won't have that reward. We're not talking about financial gain or anything like that. We're talking about how much of God do you have in your life? Have you accepted everything that He has given you an opportunity to change your life? Or have you chose to hold on to the things of humanity? That's simple. What was that word we used a while ago?
Detach.
Get away from it. Let it go. You got to let it go. Did I do 24?
No.
Knowing that from the Lord you shall receive in full the reward of the inheritance because you served the Lord Christ. Because he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respect of persons or partiality or favoritism. Okay? There's just none there with God. Now, what's it saying? What would most people say that verse says right there?
That last one?
Yep.
You're going to get back what you gave.
Yeah, most people say, see, right there's hell. God's going to burn you up for that. That's what that because that's what they're... I know, but you have a little more vision than most, okay? But most people say, see, right there, he's going to get you.
Yeah,
that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's now in this lifetime you're going to reap what you sow. That's the message of the new covenant is this. The old covenant, if you violate the law, what happened?
Death.
New covenant, God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he reaps corruption. If he sows to the spirit, he reaps the life of the ages. So it's now in this lifetime. It's not about after you die. There's no place in that book that says after you die, God's going to punish you. No place.
Most people see kind of next.
That's what I'm saying. They're seeing the negative side because their eyes aren't open yet.
Yeah.
But that's not what that says at all.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's not the nature. God's nature. Jesus came and took judgment for the whole world. Is that correct? If he paid the price, what are they coming to me asking for a down payment for on something?
Because they don't think it was actually done.
They don't believe the words they're saying. They're just
there's
saying
doubt.
Words.
There's doubt there.
Oh, big doubt. Any questions? Or? If you think on that negative like they, like the church world does, they're always focusing on hell and devils and demons and punishment and sin. And if that's what you're focused on, that's the only thing you're going to see in this whole book. And this book is a love book. This is a love story. And they can't see it because they don't know what love's about yet.
Well, it's like if you focus hard enough, anybody focuses hard enough on something, they're going to find fault with it.
You're going to cultivate whatever you're looking for. Our old buddy Dean down in North Carolina, he always says, people only see what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And if they're looking for negative, guess what they're going to find?
Negative.
And if you once you come to the truth and find the love of God, you can't see anything else.
Well, if they're looking for hell, what are they going to do?
That's all they're going to find.
Hell.
Them cherubim are going to fill in the blanks and give them whatever they're looking for, won't they?
Experience it all the time, right? Be worried about it.
Exactly. Exactly. Any questions, comments?
What was that?
Didn't take? Okay, I'm just going to stop it.